For a number of weeks on a Sunday night, on and off, we've been thinking about the question Jesus asked to some Pharisees in Matthew 22. He put that very challenging question to them. He says, "What do you think of Christ?" And just over the weeks, we've been putting this question to a number of people. We've put it to three people so far. We've asked this question to John the Baptist. We then asked it to one of Jesus' disciples, Nathanael. And then last time we put it to perhaps the one who knew him best, his own mother. Tonight we want to put this question, what do you think of Christ, to another woman. It's the woman we meet here in John chapter 4. We don't have a name for this woman. She's sometimes referred to as the Samaritan woman or the woman at the well. A very interesting character, and no doubt she will have a very interesting perspective in terms of what she thinks of Christ. And so let's put this question to this dear lady tonight. What do you think of Christ? And as we put it to this lady tonight, we're really putting it to ourselves. And we're asking ourselves, what do we think of Christ this evening? You'll know the background, I'm sure, to this story. Jesus had been on a journey, and he stopped at a well in the city of Sychar to rest and to be refreshed. And while he was there, he met this woman who had also come to the well at that time to draw water for her daily needs. And as they met at the well, an exchange took place, and Jesus said to the woman, "Give me a drink," and it went on from there. So let's put this question to this Samaritan woman this evening. What do you think of Christ? Who do you think he was? What's your perspective on this man, Jesus Christ? Well, I think she might break up her answer in a few ways. I think, first of all, she would talk about whenever she first met him. I mean, she had never met him before until they met at the well that day. And she might say, well, you know, what do I think of Christ? Well, when I first met him at the well that day, you know, I thought he was the same as me. That's what I thought of him at that time. I thought he was similar to me. Thought he was just the same as myself. And we can understand why she would have said that. Because obviously she's come to the well. She's had a journey to the well. She's tired. She's thirsty. She's worn out, so she is. And it's similar with Jesus. He's been on a journey. We read here that he himself was tired. And we read also that he himself was thirsty. It says in verse 6, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well." And it was about the sixth hour. "A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.'" So there were similarities between Jesus and this woman. And we can understand why she might have said, well, whenever I met this man, I just thought he was the same as myself. Because he, like me, we were tired. And, you know, he, like myself, he was thirsty. And I was thirsty. And so on. And that's maybe what she would have said. I think that he's really just the same as me. And you know, there's so much truth in that. So much truth in that. And maybe for some this evening, you're uncomfortable with me saying that he was the same as her. Because we know what she was like. We then know the type of life that she had lived. The type of immoral life that she had lived. And to say this evening that he was the same as her is hard to take. But you know, there is a striking similarity between this woman and between Jesus. And it is in their humanity, so it is. They both were tired. They both were thirsty. They both displayed those human traits. So they did. And that's where we want to start this evening. That Jesus was very similar to this woman. And it's important that we start there this evening. Because we can say this evening that Jesus understood how this woman was feeling. He understood exactly the way that this poor woman was feeling. So he did. because he was like her in his humanity. He knew how tiredness felt. He knew what it was like to be thirsty. He knew all of those human characteristics. And because he was so similar to her in this respect, you know, he understood exactly the way she was feeling. And so it is tonight, friends. Let's remember that he's the same as us. He's the same as us in our humanity. And let's remember, friends, that he understands us whenever we're going through whatever it is we're going through. He understands that right down to a T. Whenever I first met Jesus, I just thought he was the same as me. And he was. He was. And it's important he was, because we know that because he was the same as her, he understood her. And you know, because he was the same as her, and because he's the same as me, he was able to take my place on Calvary's cross. This was so vital, friends. I needed a Savior who was like me. I needed to see a Savior who was like me in my humanity. He had to be like me in my humanity. He had to be like this woman in her humanity if he was going to take my place. How could anyone else take my place? How could anyone else other than a man take my place? How could anyone else other than a man be made sin for me? It's impossible. And friends, for the cross, and for the sacrifice on the cross to be worth anything tonight, that man on the middle cross had to be identical to me and my humanity. And he was. I hadn't conferred with Aaron this evening about what he was going to read at the start, but he read those amazing words in Philippians chapter 2, where it says that he, being found in the form of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. There'll be someone in the service tonight and you're not a Christian. Dear friends, Jesus Christ was a man like you. He shared in a humanity like yours. And because he did, friends, he was able to be your substitute. He was able to take your place. He was able to be made sin for you when he died on the cross. What do you think of Christ, dear? Well, I tell you, when I first met him, you know, I just thought he was the same as me. And he was. But you know, whenever I first met him that day at the well, you know, I just thought he was a stranger in town. I'd never met him before. Didn't know him at all. I just thought he was a stranger visiting in Sychar that day, and he had stopped off for something to drink. Amazing, friends. Here is this woman, face to face with Jesus Christ. Here is this woman face to face with the Savior of the world, and she doesn't know him. He's a stranger. And friends, maybe for someone in the service tonight, he's still a stranger to you. You've heard loads about him. You've met him so many times. You've come face to face with him so many times. And hasn't the choir brought us face to face with him tonight? But is it as it was for this woman? As far as she was concerned, he's just a stranger in town. Is he a stranger in town tonight? Is he a stranger in your life tonight? Do you know him yet? Friends, I was really challenged by this. As someone who claims to know Jesus Christ, the challenge was this. If I was to meet him tonight, would I know him? Do I know him that well? I was to meet him tonight on my way home, would I recognize him? Do I know him that well? Or would it be like this woman? He would be a stranger to me. You know, friends, although he was a stranger to her, she wasn't a stranger to him. The same so for you tonight, friends, if he's a stranger to you. Yes, he was a stranger to her, but she wasn't a stranger to him. If we go to verses 16 to 18, as the conversation develops, Jesus said to her in verse 16, "Go and call your husband." The woman answered and said, "I've no husband." Jesus said to her, "You've well said you have no husband. The truth is that you have had five husbands, and the one you now have isn't your husband. In that you speak truly." Jesus knew this woman so well. He knew about her private life. He was so exact, so he was. He says, "You're right, dear. You've well said you have no husband." He says, "For you've had five husbands." You've had five husbands. You know, I reckon the people in Sychar didn't even know that about her. They had probably lost count. They probably said, "Her, she's been married over and over and over again. I don't know how many times she's been married." But Jesus knows her so well. He says, "You've had five husbands." And he says, "I even know the man you're living with now isn't your husband." She was no stranger to him. And you know, friends, he might be a stranger to you tonight, but you're not a stranger to him. He knows you so well. Knows you so well. I find that really challenging this evening, friends. What a challenge that is to any who are outside of Christ tonight. To think that he knows me so well. But friends, he wants you to know him tonight, as he wanted this woman to know him also. What do I think of Christ? This dear lady would probably say, "Well, I think he's, when I just first met him, you know, I thought he was the same as me. I just thought he was a stranger in town who had stopped off at the well for some refreshment." And she would say, "You know, if I'm honest, I would have to say, what did I think of Christ? Well, I thought he was a wee bit strange. A wee bit strange." You'll notice there that whenever Jesus met this woman in verse 7, he says to her, "Give me a drink." And you think there's nothing strange about that. It's a normal thing to ask, standing at a well, "Give me a drink, please." But it was a strange thing to say, because in verse 9, the woman picks up on it and she said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, asks a drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? Do you not know that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans?" And so what Jesus said to this woman was so strange, was so odd. Did he not know that he a Jew and she a Samaritan, the two don't associate, the two certainly don't exchange hospitality. The two certainly don't exchange drinking vessels. And this woman counted this so strange. This is a strange type of guy, so he is. Because he asks me, a Samaritan, he a Jew, he asks me for a drink. It's important, the example Jesus gives us here. You'll notice, friends, that Jesus doesn't say to this woman, "You're a Samaritan and I'm a Jew." He doesn't mention it. He overlooks it completely. As far as he is concerned, it's not important. It's irrelevant. It's meaningless. It's her that brings it up. It's not him. The fact she's a Samaritan and he's a Jew, what matters? It's not important. He sees a woman who's tired, who's thirsty, who's wrung out with life, and life has wrung her out. And she needs living water. and he cuts across the traditional, the cultural, the religious boundaries to reach out to this dear woman in need. She thought it was strange that he would do this. Friends, I was so challenged by Jesus there. So challenged by him. Because often I think like this woman. Often I think he's a Catholic and I'm a whatever. Often I think she's Hindu and I'm whatever. Jesus didn't think like that. He cuts across those boundaries. He shows that the gospel doesn't recognize those boundaries. And he shows that this message is a message, friends, for all. Friends, the way I was challenged was this. I've been going out, as others have been going out recently with CDs. And just talking to Mark about this morning, so often in this area when you knock on a door and folks come and you explain your business, they will say, ah, but I'm a Catholic. Ah, but I'm a whatever. I wonder, friends, have we the courage to say to them, listen, it doesn't matter. Listen, those divisions are meaningless. There is no difference between us. There is no difference between us. The gospel is for all. Have we the courage to say that? Have we the courage when someone says, ah, but I'm this and you're that? Have we the courage to say, let me just stop you there. I'm not that. I'm a Christian. And nothing else. Friends, the gospel, Jesus shows, ignores those boundaries. And we've got to ignore them. We've got to behave as though they don't exist in terms of how we distribute the gospel. And so, friends, whoever you are tonight, Jesus speaks to you and he says to you, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again, but I have water I want to give you, and if you drink of it, you will never thirst again. This woman, what do I think of Christ? I think he's strange. Because he, a Jew, asked me, a Samaritan, for a drink. But then as we move on in this woman's life, you know, after talking to Jesus for some time and getting to know him better, I wonder, if you put that question to her, what do you think of Christ? Oh, how would she answer it then, after getting to know him a bit better? I think she would maybe say this, what do I think of Christ? Well, one word, I think he satisfies. I think he satisfies. Now, she couldn't have said this just when she met him. But after getting to know him and after listening to him, I think she would have said, I think he satisfies. Look there at verse 10. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. What do I think of him? I think he satisfies. Let me just draw your attention to some of the words in verse 10 first of all. To me, we have the most pathetic words in all of this chapter here in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The saddest words of all are those words that Jesus had said to this woman, "If you knew the gift of God. If you knew who it was who's just asked you for a drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water." He says, "If you knew." Friends, I take out of this that this dear woman didn't know about the gift of God. This dear woman didn't know who had just asked her for a drink. And I take out of that that no one had ever told this woman about the gift of God. No one had ever told this woman as to who Jesus is. Because Jesus says, if you had have known what the gift of God is, if you had have known that salvation is a gift from God, if you had have known that the one who asked you for a drink was Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. But you didn't know. That really challenged me to the core. Those words, "if you knew." And I think how many people are there around us here. And if they knew the gift of God, if they knew who Jesus was, they would ask of him and he would give them living water. Friends, we've got to tell them. We've got to tell them. Because if they knew that the gift of God is salvation received by faith, and it's a free gift, if they knew who Jesus was, they will ask of him and he will give them living water. Jesus goes on and he develops that in 13 and 14. He says to this woman, he says, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." He's pointing to the water in the well before him that day. And he points to it and he says, "Dear, you have come to draw water out of this well. But let me tell you, if you drink this water, you will thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I will give you, you will never thirst. The water that I will give you will be like a fountain springing up inside of you." He's promising here to satisfy her. But notice, friends, what he says in 13. He says, "If you drink this water, you will thirst again." And friends, maybe there's someone here tonight and you're drinking that water. Because friends, this world has so many wells and maybe you're drinking from the wells of this world at the moment. And Jesus says, "If you drink this water, you will thirst again." And friends, whatever well you are drinking from tonight, if it is not from Christ, it is the same. You will thirst again. But there's another well. And Jesus says in 14, "Whoever drinks of the water I will give him, he will never thirst, but it will be a fountain of water springing up inside of him." He says, "I will give you water, dear, that will satisfy you and satisfy you forever." What do you think of Christ? Oh, after talking to him a while and spending time with him, you know, I think he satisfies. I think he satisfies. And friends, he does. And that's a big thing for people today, being satisfied. Someone here tonight, not satisfied. Not satisfied. Let me just point you back to the words of Jesus. If you drink of the water that he gives, you will never thirst. But the water, that water will be a well within you, springing up continually. He satisfies, friends. He has to satisfy. Of course he satisfies. Look at the cross tonight. See what he went through. See the price he paid. See the purchased redemption that was secured there. Of course he satisfies. She might have a few other things today. Say, what do I think of Christ? Well, I think he is the source, and I think he is the supplier of eternal life. That's what I think of him. He is the source and he is the supplier of eternal life. Because verse 14 goes on, Jesus says, "Whoever drinks of the water that I give him, he will never thirst. The water that I will give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Amazing words. Jesus is not only saying here, "I am the source," he is saying, "I am the supplier of eternal life." He says, whoever drinks of this water, it will be a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Eternal life. Friends, whenever I came to this well, whenever I drank of this water, and since then, I have known eternal life. I'm not waiting on it. I am knowing it every day. So I am, and that's eternal life. It starts right now. So it does. I would love to know eternal life. That I shall never die. That death in this life will merely be me moving on to a far better stage of intimacy and fellowship with the Lord. How can I know this eternal life? Where can I find this eternal life? Jesus says, whoever drinks the water that I give him will have this eternal life springing up within him. We find it in him. We find it when we drink of him. When we find it when we turn to him in repentance of our sin. When we turn to him in faith and trust in his death on the cross for our sin. And when we receive him into our lives, and when we choose to live for him, that's when we find him. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I think this woman would have one final thing to say. What do I think of Christ? Well, this is what I think of him. I think he's been sent by God to be the Savior of the world. You see, this woman, we see from verse 25, she believed the Old Testament. She believed the promises of the Old Testament that God was going to send a Messiah. God was going to send one who would be called Christ to be the Savior of the world. He says to her, he says, "I know that Messiah is coming, who's called Christ. When he comes, he will show me all these things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he. I who speak to you am he." And I think for a moment, what did that woman think at that point? What a moment. She has been waiting. She has believed that Messiah will come. She believes that God is going to send one to be the Savior of the world who will be called Christ. She has believed that despite all her sin and immorality. She believes that. And here is a man standing in front of her, and he has just said to her, "I'm the one. I'm the one." And we know she believed it, because it says further down in verse 29, she ran into the town. She said, "Come and see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Christ? Could this be the one that God said he was going to send to be the Savior of the world?" Dear friends, if you're ever to be saved, if you're ever to know eternal life, you have got to believe that Jesus Christ is the one that the prophets foretold would come. You've got to believe that he is the one that God said he would send to be the Savior of the world. And maybe for someone tonight, you've come face to face with that reality. Maybe for someone tonight, you're where this woman stood. This woman has just said, "I'm waiting for Messiah to come. I know that God's going to send a Savior." And the Savior has just said to her, "You're looking at him.
Maybe tonight you're looking at him. Maybe tonight the Saviour is drew near and you know that he's the one God said he would send to be the Saviour of the world. Friends, if you do, will you come to him tonight? Will you acknowledge your sin before him? Will you receive him in faith tonight and trust him for all eternity? Let's just pray.